Midwest Punks, Carl and Brian, finally back in the studio. It's been a while. We've been a little, like everybody else, kind of in the podcast world, unless you're recording from home or something, we taking precautions and everything with the virus and all that. So
it's nice to be back.
Yeah. So we're trying to get new ones out as much as we can. And we started this episode off with a little Prince Buster. It was the name of the band, and the name of the song was One Step Beyond.
Yeah, Madness has covered that song. Most people probably know it from them. But they did a lot of his music. Prince Buster. Okay. He's kind of started in the 60s. He was a Jamaican singer-songwriter, producer. And
the reggae sound and stuff in there. So
yeah, he kind of early adopter of the ska sound. That real, like, a lot of that's kind of what I wanted to start the show off here with. It's kind of handful of bands that kind of started that scene, the ska reggae, really got that going,
and then that connection to later on the Afro punk scene and things. So it just kind of thought, you know, we try to stay a little relevant with the topics on the show and with everything going on in the world right now and race tensions and you know, equality and things like that. It's in the music too, so especially in the punk scene, there's been a lot of that. So yeah, we were gonna focus on that this episode, and Brian, you got some of the history of the connection between Afropunk and its roots with the ska and all that.
Yeah, before ska really started and it was a thing, many ska bands and punk bands kind of performed on the same bill, like that, you know, that ska punk sound before that was a thing in the 90s, 80s, late 80s. They were separate. So ska was kind of doing its own thing. But ska, reggae, rocksteady, soul music, what was popular in the 60s, the UK, the mods and everything. So during that time, that was it was a big influence from that scene. So it brought the skinheads that kind of started doing their thing in the late 60s, early 70s. That was a lot of people hear that name now and they think immediately, you know, that's a racist group. There were no factions of racist skinheads in the 60s when they first started. It was just kind of part of that mod scene. Later in the 80s, they kind of picked up, and there was a few groups that kind of started that, and the media kind of picked up on that, and they basically just said,
associated
you know,
them with
yeah,
Nazis.
Yeah, and, yeah, so neo-fascist, you know, that's what all these groups are. So kind of to get away from that, the skinheads that were not involved in any sort of racial activities or anything, they started the Sharp group, which is initialism for skinheads against racial prejudice.
And there's a few different kind, like there's SARPs and
Sharps.
There's a few more I know that are out there, kind of acronyms for, but they all kind of mean the same thing.
Like it's basically what
stereotype is.
A message to say, you know, we're not related to that. You know, there's groups doing that, and these groups that are, you know, into that scene and the style and just the punk scene in general. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been seeing a lot of stuff on social media, pages getting blocked for people that are into anything that's part of that scene, you know, and it's kind of, I think a lot of people are misconstruing the message that comes from that group there. You know, they have a similar look sometimes, and it might give that impression, but this music here is kind of what started it. And most of these artists were Black singers and, you know, coming from Jamaica, reggae, you know, that started that whole thing. So we kind of wanted to highlight those bands and really talk about where that came from and kind of how the mod and the soul music and everything really influenced like early 60s ska and punk and all that together.
Yeah, I was
together.
Gonna say, you can still hear that influence, because I know even, I always bring up Rancid because they're my favorite band, but they have an album, Life Won't Wait, and I can't remember the singer who's on that album, but the whole album has like reggae tones to it, and it's just an awesome album that's got like it's like a mix of Bob Marley and Rancid and Sublime, you know. It's like it's a really cool album, so I definitely recommend checking out Life Won't Wait by Rancid. But that was in the 90s. I mean, album came out and it still had the reggae tones to it, and they talk about, you know, the Rude Boys and stuff like that, and Tim Armstrong and Lars Fredriksson from Rancid are notorious, like they're big Sharp guys who, you know, the skinheads against racial prejudice. So they there's stories of them fighting Nazis at like Gilman Street in California and the local scene and stuff, because that's when there was always that tension between the punk bands and the Nazis, and the Nazis would try to come, neo-Nazis would try to come in and kind of take over shows, and the punks were more about, you know, kind of
having fun.
Having fun, keeping things about the music and no hate. You know, it was open to everybody, and that's, you know, where we'll get some of the bands that kind of the Afro-punk bands that came up with all this being, you know, it's music, it's open to everybody, it's inclusive. You know, a lot of them played shows together and kind of grew up together and made the scene what it was, so...
Yeah, later on, at the end of the episode here, we're going to play some more specifically Afro-punk bands that kind of fall into that category a little more after the ska set here. But there's a whole festival that they do for the Afro-punk festival. It's out in the East Coast, and I think they were out here in Chicago for the 2015.
It's a few years back, and then they're even over in overseas, Paris, I think it
Are
was
they over there? Oh, okay.
At one point. And
nice.
Somewhere else, so...
But yeah, it's really cool to see all these bands and kind of see that part of the scene. And, you know, music is music, and you don't really pay attention sometimes that, you know, race really doesn't play a factor when you hear awesome music.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of nice to stop and highlight to say, you know, in a time like this that, you know, these artists are here as well. And, you know, that stigma that punk rock might have can be...
It's actually the opposite if you look into it.
Exactly.
It's always been about... being inclusive. I mean, you know, we've talked before about even the woman movement in punk, because it was like women felt like they were being kind of left out and people didn't expect them to be able to make some punk music. And then there was the whole, you know, era where there was just all these really awesome women bands coming out and making music. And we had an episode about that before, but, you know, so it, and even then it was like, let's go out there and make your music. And then same with this, you know, it's there was a stigma that there was race and stuff, and it was like, no, man, you know, like, just come rock out, come jam, come make music. And there were bands like you know, Bad Brains and some of the other ones that we'll play on here that came out of that scene and just kind of, you know, really really helped the genre take off across multiple cultures and demographics and stuff. So
yeah, well, let's get on with the next band here.
Cool.
So this is the Maytals.
Okay.
They actually were called Toots in the Maytals when they first started out. The guy, the singer's name was Toots. They were from the early 60s when they formed, and the Maytals are one of the best known ska and rocksteady vocal groups that were key figures in popularizing reggae music. Pressure Drop was their 1969 recording, and was released on the album Monkey Man in 1970. That's the song we're going to play here. And you might have heard that. I think it's been covered by some other bands. Yeah. I'm trying to think who would have done it.
Yeah.
But yeah, you probably have heard Pressure Drop, I'm sure. The band itself has been, you know, just imitated a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The different songs that they've had. And I'm trying to think of the band is slipping my mind. But anyway, we will move on. I had a quote here from the singer Frederick Toots, and something that I thought was pertinent here. It said it's about the Pressure Drop song here and what it was about. The barometric pressure on the islands apparently is a thing that they all talk about. Like when the barometric pressure drops, there's a storm coming and it's gonna get you. So the quote
being that kind of environment they're used to, they can feel that.
So being on the islands, that was something that he would say to people, like when he wanted to get back at somebody. So it was the quote is, "It's a song about revenge, but in the form of karma. If you do bad things to innocent people, then bad things will happen to you." The title was a phrase I used to say to someone done me wrong. Rather than fight them like a warrior, I'd say the pressure's going to drop on you.
Okay.
So that's just kind of...
Yeah, his way of saying, like, karma will get you.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. So a little bit of the islands for you.
Yeah. Kinda. Awesome. And so, again, this is the Maytals.
Yep. And the song is Pressure Drop. So let's check it out.
All right. Let's give it a listen.
Pressure, 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 p
So that was Toots and the Maytals with Pressure Drop. So the band that I was talking about covering them was the Specials.
Yeah, and we saw that the Clash
and the Clash had done it too. Yeah. So if you've heard other versions, that might have been them.
Yeah.
But that's again, where it came from.
His mm-hmm. way of saying karma will get you.
Yeah, so, that's right. So
kind of good way to lead life and good way to think about things right now, you know.
Definitely.
So, yeah, and again, we're just kind of going through the early ska reggae connections that kind of led into the Afropunk scene and stuff. So, Brian, you got a couple bands for us to listen to. That was the Maytals, Toots and the Maytals. And so what's next?
The next band is one of my favorites. This is Desmond Dekker and the Aces. Mm-hmm. This song was released in 1968 and was the first reggae song to reach the top 10 in the U.S.
Hmm.
Originally issued in Jamaica as Poor Me Israelites. He composed the song after walking through the park, overhearing a couple arguing about money.
Hmm.
And so apparently it was a big thing in Jamaica. The Rastafarians were marginalized as cultish and ostracized from the society, so they had a lot of trouble kind of getting jobs and things like that. So it was a couple that were Rastafarians, and Jamaican reggae music kind of comes from that kind of oppression and things. So but yeah, that's what the song's based on. I mean, this is the track that was actually one that made it to the U.S. and was pretty popular. This is one of my favorites of theirs. I don't know if you're familiar with them at all.
It kind of sounds familiar, but I'm not positive if I've heard their, you know, I do listen to reggae every now and then, and
they're
on the Bob Marley station on Amazon Prime or, you know, Spotify or something. And
they might pop up.
Yeah. And then just the kind of connections and the influences, you know, just like in the punk scene that we've talked about, the influence between these artists too, you know, kind of, paving the way for one another and stuff. So,
yeah, but
cool message behind the song, though, and kind of the origins of the song. So this is Desmond Dekker and the Aces, and the song is...
Israelites.
Israelites. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. So let's check it out.
Cool.
Morning slaving for bread, sir, so that every mouth can be fed. Oh, me Israelites, get up in the morning, slaving for bread, sir, so that every mouth can be fed.
Oh, me Israelite.
Wipe on my kids, step back up and leave me. Darling, she said I was yours to receive.
Oh, me Israelite.
Shut them a tear up choices ago. I don't want to end up like Bonnie and Clyde.
Oh, the Israelite.
After a storm, there must be a calm. If you catch me in a farm, you sound your alarm. Bread, sir, so that every mouth can be fed.
Oh, the Israelites,
sir. Take my wife and my kids to the back up and not leave me. Darling, she said that was yours to receive.
Oh, the Israelites,
sir. Look, we chucked them a tear up choices ago. I don't want to end up like Bonnie and
all right, right. And that was Desmond Dekker and the Aces with the song Israelites.
Yes, sir.
And, yeah, that was cool. That was, again, the kind of background of the song you gave before that was...
Yeah, really just kind of the mod scene was really into the ska and the soul music. So yeah. That really kind of tied that into, you know, just kind of like we were talking at the beginning of the show, you know, the skinheads were part of that scene and that was the music that they were all into at the time. So
yeah,
there was no race involved as far as, you know, where that started at a different time. And
yeah, and then just kind of gets lumped together
when
everybody starts... trying to point fingers.
Yep.
So, definitely. That was a cool band, Desmond Dekker and the Aces. And you got one more for us, right?
That's right. You might have heard of.
Yeah. Something a little bit more, not mainstream, I guess. Well, kind of mainstream.
Yeah.
But more popular.
At the time, he was, he was not well known. But this was Bob Marley, and he was with a band called the Wailers. You ever heard of him? And, he was actually introduced to the Beverly Records people by Desmond Dekker. He was working with him. I believe he was working as a welder with him or something like that. And so he's like, hey, this guy can sing. You should check him out. So he came in and did a recording with Beverly Records. And they liked what he was doing. So he recorded this song. This is his first song, Judge Not. And this is the first recording that he ever did of that song. So it was at the time when ska was kind of a thing. So this early stuff of Bob Marley has really got a ska sound to it. So it doesn't have that traditional reggae sound or just that Bob Marley sound you hear. You can hear the youngness in his voice and everything just from the 1962 recording.
Yeah, that's
awesome. So this is actually off of a really good 4-disc box set that they did. It's called Songs of Freedom. And I think it was like a BBC recording or something like that.
Yeah.
But it was, it's really good. This is the first album. This is off of that being his first recording. So it was kind of like an anthology of like all of his works. But it's pretty good.
Cool.
If you can find a copy of it, I say check it out. But let's give it a listen and see what Bob Marley's first recording sounded like.
Bob Marley and the Wailers would Judge Not.
Here we go.
Judge Not from Bob Marley and the Wailers. And Yeah, when we were talking while the song was playing, and The Interrupters, which is a more, they're a ska punk band that's out right now. They're on Hellcat Records with the guys from Rancid and stuff. They had covered that song on their self-titled album, The Interrupters. So you can check that out too. But yeah, so kind of showing how the influence is there, the connections are there, and kind of started out the ska genre and still there today.
For sure, know, yeah.
Bob Marley. So,
love me some Bob Marley every once in a while.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, you know, bands like Rancid and some of the other bands, you know, even Sublime was kind of a cool mixture of like reggae and punk and rock and, stuff.
The whole fusion of punk and ska in the early 90s was...
Yeah, and so there's plenty of cool bands to check out. Again, I recommend Life Won't Wait from Rancid. Really cool sound, really awesome sound. Good beach music, you know, all the time, kind of being out in that kind of atmosphere and stuff. But
nice socially distanced beach.
Distanced beach. So that was kind of the early days of the ska, reggae, and how that kind of helped paved the way for the scene, the punk scene, the skinheads, the sharps, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And out of all of that, like we said, the music was always kind of about being inclusive and open to everybody, you know. And so there were Afro-punk bands that came out of the scene and you know, kind of took over the scene at some points. And so we wanted to highlight some of those bands as well. One of the bands, I think we've played them before, and I mentioned them earlier, but... Obviously, one of the bands that comes to mind for an Afro-punk band, Bad Brains.
Oh yeah.
So, they came out of Washington D.C. actually in the punk scene there in 1979. They were actually a former jazz group. So these guys were actual like musicians. Like they, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes you hear the punk bands or the guys just don't really know how to play a guitar. They know a couple notes and they just make music. These guys knew how to play music. They were, you know. Musically, they were talented, and they kind of used that in their music to merge funk and punk and metal, some hardcore, some reggae, all of that kind of mashed together into their own sound that was really unique. And there was a lot of unique things about them too. They have a song called Sacred Love that the singer actually called from a jail cell. And they recorded the vocals from his phone call from a jail cell. I think it was a harmless charge of like smoking some weed or something. So, he had a urge to sing about it and called from jail and recorded that song. So that was kind of cool.
Nice.
There's a song called Attitude that they do, and that song talks about PMA, which is what they just always kind of threw out there as having a positive mental attitude. They felt like a lot of bands in that time and kind of in that scene, they always had hate and they always had all this like kind of anger and they were lashing out and stuff. So they wanted to, you know, let people know to, you know, you don't always have to be angry. You can have a positive mental attitude. So they sing about that. There's a really cool, there's some documentaries out there where you can hear them talking about, how that started and how that developed, and that kind of took over the scene in that area on the East Coast and stuff, where PMA was a big thing that people talked to each other about. And then Henry Rollins, who you know we know from like Black Flag and stuff, says that he got his start as a roadie for Bad Brains, and they obviously inspired other bands like Operation Ivy. You know, a really influential ska punk band. Out of that came a couple other people's bands. Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day, Tim Armstrong from Rancid, all those guys. They inspired bands like Fishbone and even the Red Hot Chili Peppers. So again, just how all of those bands come together. But Bad Brains is an awesome band. They got some really cool songs out there. Definitely recommend checking them out. And so wanted to play a song from them called Eye Against Eye. So it's kind of talking about... you know, you can kind of be your own worst enemy sometimes, and you got to get over that. So, so it's a cool song.
Yeah, it's a good tie-in. They have a little bit of reggae in their music.
Yeah. And they had that whole sound where, you know, songs didn't all sound the same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some sounded more reggae than others. Some mm-hmm. sounded more funk.
Yeah,
some sounded more hardcore. They had some hardcore ones.
Started that hardcore thing.
Yeah, but again, you can hear their instruments kind of come out in most of their songs, because these guys, they got their start with, you know, making some pretty complex music and stuff. So, but yeah, let's cue up Bad Brains with Eye Against Eye.
Yeah, let's check it out.
In a quest for the test, you're feeling your team, and everybody's always on it just to see yourself. But don't have a map that you just don't fit, and you're standing up and empty anyone else. So you tell me your why, but you're after the line, trying to make it up and confused about the USA. When the fact of my mind, that you just don't hear, to comprehend and understand, I see your words. Mother, whatever, go get time.
Eye Against Eye, which was actually the name of the album too, came out in 1986, and I was just kind of reading while the song was playing, but the Eye Against Eye has some kind of reference to a Rastafarian phrase that's like eye and eye, which kind of talks about the person's connection to God and love and peace and stuff like that. So again, just that whole connection that we've been talking about.
Yep.
But Bad Brains is an awesome band, really cool songs, really cool history behind them. That time, I mean, just think like late 70s, you know, 70s and stuff, in 80s, being an Afro punk band, especially in Washington, D.C. I mean, it really cool history with them, but really good songs too. So check them out. And we'll keep moving, try and get some more songs in, Brian. The time goes so quick when we're in here. The next band I want to play is one we've played a few times on here too, but the Dead Kennedys. And not everybody, I feel like not everybody even thinks of them as like an Afro-punk band. But when you do some, you know, searching and stuff, you'll see them pop up a lot of times. And that's because of their second drummer, who was D.H. Pellegrino. And he, like I said, he was their second drummer. He ended up playing with the band until they broke up in 86. He also played with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. When Dead Kennedys got back together, he played with them again from 2001 to 2008. And he has his own band, too. The band's called Pellegrino, so it's, you know, after his name. But so that's where, you know, they, again, in the late 70s, 80s, Dead Kennedys kind of coming out into the punk scene. And take, you know, give this guy a chance as their drummer after they had some success and stuff. So they're out of the San Francisco area, and they were really political, and a lot of their songs were kind of critical of society and for, you know, corporations and stuff like that, you know, and censorship. They were really big against censorship in music.
Yeah, for sure.
And so the song I want to play.
Yeah, you had two of them here. Which one did you want to go with?
Let's go with Well-Paid Scientist.
All right.
Yeah, so I want to go with the Well-Paid Scientist song. It's kind of, it talks about the, I mean, and again, this is like in the 80s.
Yeah.
And they're it's still relevant today, I feel, because they're talking about how corporations are kind of like paying and influencing science and research community. So, you know, obviously there are great scientists and researchers out there. I have family members who are, and, you know, definitely a science person myself. But then you just can't help but see the times where corporations are kind of pointing things in one direction, you know, just the whole corporations thing. So the corporate influence in the science and research community is what the song's about, and you'll definitely hear it in the lyrics. So this is Well-Paid Scientist, or the song is Well-Paid Scientist from the Dead Kennedys.
All right, here we go.
So that was Dead Kennedys with the
Well-Paid Scientist.
Yeah, and you can always tell it's a Dead Kennedys song, right? So the unique sound of them. But yeah, that was a song called Well-Paid Scientist. Again, just kind of talking about the influence and corruption kind of that corporations were having in the science and research community back in the 80s. And again, the Dead Kennedys had a drummer, D.H. Pellegrino, who was an African American, started with them, got his kind of break, I guess, being their second drummer, played with them, ended up going on with Red Hot Chili Peppers, back to Dead Kennedys, has his own band, so definitely worth checking out. But that's their connection to the Afro-punk kind of movement and all of that. The next band that again, sticking with this genre, of Afro-punk bands that always get recognized is Suicidal Tendencies. and I think we've played them on the show again too. But yeah. But they're out of Venice, California, and they started in the 1980, and they're a mix of metal and hardcore punk and stuff. Some people even say skate punk. They are kind of known for their song that was in the Tony Hawk video games. So so many people, if you go out there and watch some of their YouTube videos and stuff like that, so many of the comments are people like just having flashbacks to Tony Hawk and crediting Tony Hawk's game for turning them onto a band like this and stuff like that. Their songs are a little less political and a little bit more critical of society and corporations, and they're actually pretty critical of the music industry. So they felt like the music industry kind of helped some people down while pushing other people up, and they just kind of they didn't agree with that. So they ended up as a band putting out 13 studio albums, a couple EPs and split albums, and they're known a lot of times and referred to as the godfathers of the genre crossover thrash. So it's kind of the crossover thrash is the mix of metal and punk kind of sound. And then that godfather's term is always something that we run into. Yeah. You know, they're the godfathers of punk or the god, you know, stuff like that. So they're the godfathers of crossover thrash. But and they definitely had a unique sound. I mean, some people were really critical of the music when it came out, but it was something different that a lot of people, up-and-coming musicians like Green Day and Rage Against the Machine, Pennywise, The Offspring, they heard them doing their own type of thing where, you know, the singer Mike Muir was in some songs just kind of like talking and, you know, the music was playing. And so it just kind of opened the way for, again, you don't have to do what the music industry is telling you, like do what you want, make your music. And that's something you hear a lot of times with punk bands that, you know, whether they're saying that they're too punk or not punk enough or they're sellouts, they're like, I'm making music. It's what I want to do. So kind of cool. The song from Suicidal Tendencies that I want to play is called Psycho Vision, and it's spelled C-Y-C-O Vision, Psycho Vision. So,
any reason they spelled it that way?
I'm not positive. Okay. I think it probably goes back to some kind of, lingo that they used or something like that. Mm-hmm. But if you played Tony Hawk Pro Skater, I think it was the PS2 version of it.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
You'll recognize this song for sure. You might get the urge to pull that back out and start playing. But Psycho Vision, Suicidal Tendencies. Let's give it a listen. Suicidal Tendencies with Psycho Vision, pretty well known for being off the Tony Hawk Pro Skater game. Yeah. Like I said, I think that was the PlayStation 2 version. But
my thumbs are trying to do reverts on that controller.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, those were some really awesome soundtracks back then, though, I remember. Moving right along, another band that, again, comes up with the Afropunk kind of terminology and things in the community. Rage Against the Machine. So they are a little bit more well known for more rock and kind of political rock and even some rap with the singer Zach De La Roca. Tom Morello is their guitarist, and he is of African descent, and he's actually an amazing guitarist. He like went to Harvard and stuff. He's insane on the guitar, the stuff he can, the sounds he can make. Yeah, Rage Against the Machine got their start in Los Angeles, 1991. Their singer Zach De La Roca, he was in a band, like an underground hardcore punk band called Inside Out, and he wrote a song called Rage Against the Machine. And so, you know, based on that, he started jamming with some of the other guys in what became Rage Against the Machine, and they were all inspired by bands like Bad Brains and Dead Kennedys and The Clash, Bad Religion, bands like that, really into having meaningful lyrics. Zach De La Roca writes a lot of their songs. I know they all kind of collaborate on them, and really political in their music.
Didn't one of them like climb on a statue at one point
at like an MTV award or something? That was the basis. Yeah, that dude jumped up. They were like accepting an award, and he just kind of turned around and just started climbing up the thing, and they ended up getting security. That was kind of fun.
I think a protest thing they were doing or something.
Yeah, I think he just said he was kind of, you know, they weren't all about what MTV stood for, and he didn't really agree with it, so he wanted to cause a little headache for him. But they were always, I remember in the 90s watching them supporting like protesters on each side. I mean, you know, protests for against Bill Clinton, protests against Bush, protests against Al Gore. I mean, their lyrics talk about them all. So they're really more like anti-establishment than like anti one side or the other. But yeah, they've stated that their music is a way to encourage people to join the debate and to inspire activism and social activism, because music has the power to cross borders, which doesn't always get to happen with other means. So that's why their songs are so lyrical. And if you've never heard Rage Against the Machine, I mean, their songs are pretty intense. And so I'm a big fan of them, have been for a long time. I had tickets to see them twice this summer, and that was a major blow. So holding out that next year when they resume the tour, I'll get to see them twice on their reunion tour. But the song I want to play is Bulls on Parade. And this is a pretty good example of what Rage sounds like. So if you like this song and you haven't heard Rage before, definitely check them out. But let's give it a listen to Rage Against the Machine with Bulls on Parade.
Yeah, let's check it out.
Full of shells. They rally round the family with a pocket full of shells. They rally round the family with a pocket full of shells. They rally round the family with a pocket full of shells.
Against the Machine with Bulls on Parade. Powerful song. I like the lyrics, I like the sound. And again, if that one was good, you like that one, then they got plenty of other albums to check out. And they're back on tour next year, and they were supposed to be around this year. Obviously the virus ruined that. but they'll be around next year for sure with some awesome shows, Chicago, Wisconsin, things like that. So check them out. And Brian, we're getting close to being out of time, but again, we covered kind of like the ska, the reggae influence that led into the Afro-punk kind of movement, and the ties that still out in punk and ska today that go back to that. And I know you have a few more bands that you wanted to
try and get to. Yeah, there's some newer bands. Okay. We can just kind of quickly here, see if we can squeeze a couple more in. How much time we have left?
We got about 6 minutes.
Okay, so we might be able to get two.
Yeah.
Let's jump right in here. Just real quick, this is a band from Austin, Texas. They got 2018 Afropunk named them one of the top 8 new punk bands on the planet. So they are pretty awesome. And never heard them before, Pleasure Venom. And this is a song that they did called Hive. Yeah, okay. So this is the band explores topics of love, sex, resentment, and the general absurdity of it all. That's what their message is. So let's check them out.
All right, Pleasure Venom with the song called Hive.
Yeah.
And that was Pleasure Venom, the song called Hive. Pretty cool sound, like we were saying, kind of good transition from Rage to Pleasure Venom. It had a little bit of attitude kind of sound to it. So I think we have time to play out with one more song, Brian. So again, it was cool getting back in.
It was,
and we'll try and pick up posting on Facebook and everything like that. So make sure you find us, keep tuning in, and we appreciate it. And Brian, you got one more band that we're gonna throw out there today?
Yeah, let's try and play out with one more here. This is a band called Whole Wheat Bread from Jacksonville.
I like them already.
Yeah,
just because I'm a whole wheat bread kind of guy.
Yeah, they performed in 2003, and they're sometimes joked as looking like NWA but sounding like Green Day.
That's cool. Yeah, so, it's a cool description to play.
Yeah, if you see them, they have bandanas and kind of thuggy looking, but
they have a Green Day sound apparently. Yeah. I'll have to hear that, because I don't think I've ever heard them, but it's cool. And so that was, they just got their start in 2003, so it's pretty, well, I guess that's a long time ago. I used to always think of the 2000s as like right now, but yeah I guess it's a little while off. So what song are we going to play from
them? This is a song called Police Song.
Okay.
By them. Yeah, so let's play out with that. And,
okay.
If you like them, check them out. Go find some more of their stuff. And
again, it's Whole Wheat Bread. Easy to remember.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We will see you next time.
Yep. All right. Take it easy.
You still can. So, Mr. Police Officer, we're not doing nothing wrong. Take your damn hands off of us, or we're not gonna get along. Mr. Police Officer, we're not doing nothing wrong. Take your damn hands off of us.